A peer-reviewed study published last Friday documented 55 undeclared chemical elements which have been detected in the COVID gene therapy technology from brands Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, CanSino, Sinopharm, and Sputnik V, including several toxic elements such as aluminum, titanium, arsenic, lead, and uranium. The researchers have deduced that the COVID gene therapy technology injections are part of a secret worldwide nanotechnological experimentation program. These crimes against humanity have still gone unanswered, and we do not know what the intended outcome of it all was. So at this point, we can only guess. Optogenetics was selected as Method of the Year in 2010 by Nature Video.
Scientists can switch on cells in this mouse's brain simply by switching on a light. The light activates nerve cells, which make the animal walk in circles. This neat trick is also a powerful new tool. Using light to control the behavior of cells is teaching us about everything from how we wake up to how we learn. This is optogenetics. It's the ability to target specific neurons in living, moving animals that makes this technique so powerful. In this fly, a different light-sensitive system is used to target just 2 out of 200,000 neurons. These neurons govern an escape response, the reflex that makes the fly flee as you move in to swat it. Here, a flash of light activates the neurons, making the fly jump and spread its wings. It can't take off because it's trapped in a petri dish. These mouse heart cells have been engineered to beat in time to pulses of light.
In optogenetics, what we're doing is we're putting molecules that convert light into electricity into neurons, the cells of the brain. Then when we shine light on those neurons, light gets converted to electricity and allows us to turn on or off those cells. The goal here is to find a way to control the electrical activity in some cells and not others in the network. To do that, we had to turn to the natural world. It turns out that throughout all the kingdoms of life, in plants and funguses and bacteria and so on, you can find photosynthetic or photosensory molecules that convert light into electricity. So we borrow these molecules from nature, and then using tricks from the field of gene therapy, we can put them into neurons. Now, these molecules can convert light to electricity, and they do it just in the neurons that we want to control, and not all their neighbors. So we can deliver these molecules to some cells and not others, and then we shine light on the network, we can turn on or off that subset of the cells. If we can turn on or off a set of cells that's embedded within this dense matrix, we can figure out how do they contribute to a behavior. For example, if we can turn on a set of cells, we can figure out what kinds of behaviors can it initiate. If we can turn off a set of cells, then we can delete it momentarily and figure out what it's necessary for. So far, optogenetics has had a lot of impact in the scientific world, but it hasn't been used in any human patients yet. There are a couple reasons why. One is that it requires a gene therapy to deliver the gene that encodes for these light-activated molecules into the body. Currently in the U.S., there are no FDA-approved gene therapies.
That was the problem 10 years ago, but the COVID-19 pandemic gave these mad scientists an excuse to inject billions of humans with a mysterious cocktail of nanotech. And researchers at La Quinta Columna have pointed out the possible relationship between the injections and the invisible light, which is constantly flashing from our mobile phones. We are told that this is for facial recognition, but how can we trust the official narrative when it's coming from transhumanist mass murderers? Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Irish sea moss has been all the rage in the last 5 years because when folks started discovering it, It took the country and the world by storm because of the incredible effects it has. It's probably the greatest superfood out there, full of organic-based iodine and a whole bunch of vitamins and minerals. And we've got the gummies and the capsules now in stock at thealexjonesstore.com that are some of the strongest and best out there. Up to 55% off when you get three bottles, over 40% off when you get two bottles, 40% off when you get one bottle, and it's in stock right now, Ultimate CMOS, at our great sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, check out the hundreds of designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, and hoodies. And regardless what happens to InfoWars here in the next 28 days, ladies and gentlemen, your support of our sponsor will make sure I am able to stay on air. So please take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Get the Ultimate CMOS gummies and capsules, as well as other amazing supplements and Patriot apparel. God bless you. Now, thanks for the support.
October 16th, 2024. This is the InfoWars War Room, your election headquarters, with 19 days and 8 hours until Election Day. And our election coverage continues right here, where we have big news out of Georgia, a couple different big news stories out of Georgia today. You've got Kamala Harris. She's actually speaking live in Pennsylvania right now. And do you know what she's talking about? Kamala Harris is talking about the Constitution and how important the Constitution is and how important the oath to the Constitution is and how important our unalienable rights are. Interesting. Interesting to be hearing that from Kamala Harris, isn't it? I will be honest, it's actually the most presidential she's looked and sounded. They have some pretty good lighting on her. She actually looks and sounds presidential today. I'll give her that. Talking about the Constitution. I wish she meant it. I wish that I could actually believe that she cares about the Constitution and our Bill of Rights and her oath to it. But I don't. I don't. That's just her pandering to Pennsylvania voters. As Pennsylvania is, of course, a very important swing state in this election. But what is Kamala Harris going to do about the black vote, which she is right now prime to have the worst results ever when it comes to black Americans voting in a presidential election? Worst results in modern history, certainly for a Democrat. And it's mostly black men that are going towards Trump. And every time there's a media hit, like recently on Charlamagne, there's nothing but backlash from black men with Kamala Harris. Then there's the Barack Obama lecture towards black men that you have to vote Democrat, you have to vote for Kamala Harris. That didn't go well either. So we'll review some of the follow-up there. So what is Kamala Harris doing to deal with this? What is Kamala Harris doing to try to win back black male voters? She's promising them free money and weed. That's right. Free money and weed. She should probably just go downtown with a bag of weed and a bag of cash and just start handing it out, and but only for blacks. If you're white, you don't get the Kamala Harris ganja. You don't get the Kamala cash, only if you're black. You can't identify as black. That's not how it works. Skin color isn't a spectrum, only gender is. No, I'm serious. So we'll look at that as well. And, you know, I noticed this trend as the FBI has now revised its crime data. So you notice what they do. Joe Biden has created all these jobs. And then the Bureau of Labor Statistics revises its jobs report after they make the claim. Crime is down under Joe Biden. And then the FBI revises its crime numbers after the report is already made. So that's happening again. And then you look at what's going on with the migrant gang crimes. Now they're taking over downtown San Antonio. In New York City, you've got this string of minors that have started their own gang. And because they're minors, they don't go to jail. They get released back on the streets. And so we've got those stories. We'll be hearing from a police officer on that as well, who went on a local New York news station to explain what's going on. Good Day New York. He tells the audience, yeah, these gang members commit crimes and then they get released right back onto the street. But see, the liberal media says, what's the big deal? It's just a handful. Oh, okay, it's just a handful. Let's put a handful in your neighborhood then. Let's put a handful in your school then. How about that? School with your kids. No, as long as it's not impacting them, it's just a handful. So come on. Come on. We've got new data. We've got these charts where it shows the words racist and all these other attacks that they use against conservatives, specifically Trump, shoot up like 90, or it's like probably it's like 900% as soon as Trump gets into office. Now the latest one, we have a new one. What word do you think the mainstream media has started using at 10 times the rate since Donald Trump was inaugurated? So we got that for you as well today. Now, let's look at what's going on in Georgia. Now, this might put Georgia back in play. I'm not sure. This news to me is interesting out of Georgia. I'm not quite sure what it means yet. Could it put Georgia back in play? Well, you feel like the deep state that's trying to stop Trump from getting elected, when they're making these moves, it's so that they can beat Trump, obviously. So when they won their lawsuits in Georgia and they caught the people that were double, triple counting ballots, and they know that that's what went on, and they found out about the fake water main break and all that stuff, okay, we can stop that in 2024 and probably win Georgia again. Well, before I get into the legal battles, early voting opened up in Georgia. Georgia voters cast record 252,000 ballots on first day of early voting. And so it's now a battleground state. Georgia is a red state. It's ridiculous. I can't even believe it's considered a battleground state. It's just all the voter fraud in Atlanta, that corrupt Democrat-run city. A record number of early votes been cast in Georgia yesterday as residents headed to the polls in the critical battleground state that is grappling with the fallout from Hurricane Helene and controversial election administration changes that have spurred a flurry of lawsuits. This is CNN reporting. Gabe Sterling of the Georgia Secretary of State's office said, spectacular turnout. We are running out of adjectives for this. The previous first day record was 136,000 in 2020. Ah. And that's, of course, what has me concerned. That's what has me concerned, that this was the pattern from 2020 when they stole Georgia from Trump. So, record number of early voting, and I mean a landslide record. So, is this so again, are we going to have the same thing where you had Joe Biden get a record number of votes, you had Donald Trump get a record number of votes in the exact same election? The most votes ever cast in the pandemic election. Is that what we're looking at again? They're just going to have so many damn votes out there. It's going to be like the steroid era for home runs. Nobody hit 60 home runs in 100 years, and then two players do it in the same season. Well, yeah, they were on steroids. So are we about to see the vote steroids again here? Is that going to be the story? Are these Trump voters getting out early? That concerns me out of Georgia, I'll be honest. Then you have this. Georgia judge blocks hand-counting ballot rule. A Georgia judge has temporarily blocked a rule requiring clerks to hand-count the total number of ballots, saying it's too much, it's too late for the 2024 election. This decision impacts how ballots will be handled in the upcoming voting process. So now it's only machine counting. Now, remember, this was big. This was a big victory for Republicans in the courts that they had to hand count the ballots. Well, now this judge has just struck that down. Again, the quote from the judge's decision, Judge Robert McBurney, Superior Court of Fulton County, that's Atlanta. Because the hand count rule is too much too late, its enforcement is hereby enjoined while the court considers the merits of petitioner and petitioner interviewer interveners case. So, it will only be machine count, no hand count. Because you can't figure out how to hand count. It's way too complicated. It's confusing. We don't know how to do it. It's, you know, you got to teach somebody how to hand count a ballot. I mean, that takes way too long. You know, it's not like they just pick up a ballot, look at it, and then see who you voted for. I mean, you know, this is a difficult process to hand count. I don't know how we figured it out. I don't know how our ancestors in this country figured out how to hand count ballots. I don't know how my grade school figured out how to hand count ballots for student president. I don't know how we did it. This is such a complicated process. It's too little, too late. So now this judge steps in and says, nope, no hand counting. Now, I don't think this is the end. I think there will be an appeal. And so we'll see where it goes from there. But again, this is in Atlanta. Other quotes from his decision. The public interest is not disturbed by pressing pause here. This election season is fraught. And what does he bring up? January 6th. Memories of January 6th have not faded away. Regardless of one's view of that date's fame or infamy, anything that adds uncertainty and disorder to the electoral process disturbs the public. Well, so that's why we should hand count. It seems like he's making the case to hand count, but then says no. So there you go. And this is the same judge, it's the same bench that will force you to certify votes even if there are ongoing lawsuits, just like in 2020, when the same bench forced the certification of the votes, and then it came out that they were double counting ballots, and then it came out that there were 12,000 illegal votes cast, which was beyond the margin of victory. Didn't matter. They forced the certification anyway, and it was too late. But he wants the public to trust the process, he says, and then he invokes January 6th. So Georgia judge halts rule that would have required hand counting ballots. And he says it's for the public interest. It's for the public trust. You'd think the average American would probably trust a hand-counted process more than a machine, but I don't know. I guess that depends on who you ask. Who is Judge Robert McBurney, a key figure in the Georgia Trump investigation? McBurney presided over the selection process for the grand jury that will hear the Trump case, or that heard the Trump case. Fulton County Superior Judge has presided over key parts of the Georgia probe against former President Donald Trump and his efforts to overturn the 2020 election results. Oh, it's Twilight Zone stuff, man, isn't it? Isn't it just all Twilight Zone stuff? So there's your latest update out of Georgia. And who knows, maybe Kamala Harris will head down to Atlanta with a bag of weed and a bag of cash. She'll be sitting right outside a polling location, just the right amount of length away so that it's not illegal. She can sit out there with cash and weed and say, come on, blacks, vote for me. And that'll be perfectly fine. And we can perfectly trust all the machines to count everything accurately. And that's doing the public a service, even though most states it's required to have a paper backup or even a hand count backup or an audit. Apparently, this judge and the Democrats in Georgia don't want any of that, and we all know why. And we all know why. But, okay, we've seen from undercover journalists, from people at Project Veritas, from Alex Rosen, how they harvest votes, and they do it with old people. And so they'll go to these old folks' homes, where a lot of the old folks just don't vote because they're just too old, they're not interested, they don't want to leave, whatever the case may be, they're incapacitated. And so they go into their units and they say, oh, do you want to vote? Oh, you got to vote for the Democrat. He loves you so much. He'll give you health care and all this stuff. And then they basically just fill out the ballot for them. It's been seen in undercover video. Well, now they just record it and do it themselves, but at least in this case, it's a family member. But it's kind of like, you know, the Jimmy Carter Foundation just came out saying, oh, Jimmy Carter has voted for Kamala Harris in early voting. Folks, they rolled out Jimmy Carter to the White House for his 100th birthday. And I mean, no disrespect to the former president, but I mean, he looked dead. I mean, he was literally like the SpongeBob meme of the worm that's dried up in a hospital bed. It was kind of embarrassing, but whatever. They celebrated his 100th birthday. They rolled this corpse of Jimmy Carter out there. And now they're celebrating how he's voted for Kamala Harris. I wonder if he even knows that. So here's this Democrat family getting their old grandma to vote and literally having to vote for her. I mean, you can watch. They take her hand and force her to fill out the ballot. And they say, congratulations, you voted Democrat. So this is how they do it. Clip 12.
Okay, Grandma. Do you want to vote for the first black woman president ever?
Yeah.
Okay, she's a Democrat too.
Okay,
so I'll show you where to write. Keep it the pen in your hand, and it's right here.
I mean, is that even legal? She's literally doing it for her.
Good job, Grandma.
She didn't do anything.
You got to vote for the first woman president.
Harris.
Kamala Harris.
So, I have nothing against that old lady. Seems like a nice old lady. Yeah, there's Jimmy Carter rolling up to the White House. Looking good, Jimmy. Congratulations on voting for Harris. I'm sure you know what's going on. So, if you're just an audio audience, I guess that's her daughter, but the grandma looks like she's probably 90 or so. She's very old. She can't even do the vote herself. So the daughter puts the pen in her hand and then grabs her hand and does the vote for her. The grandma can't even do it. She can't even apply enough pressure with the pen to the piece of paper to vote. So again, I have no problem. You know, I think, you know, if you have a heart, if you have a soul, it goes out to elderly folks that are, you know, in their twilight, and maybe sometimes it's difficult for them to live. So bless her heart. But that's what they do. The Democrats go to these homes. In that case, it's a family member, and they get their ballots. They get their mail-in ballots, whatever it is. And then they go to their homes and they vote for them. And these elderly folks, they don't know what's going on. They're not watching the news. They don't know any policies. So they just get their activist family or the literal Democrat activist showing up at their doors with ballots saying, you're voting Democrat. That's what you're doing. So legal or not, in that case, I don't know, but what about the ethics? I would say it's highly unethical to take advantage of the elderly like this, to get them to vote for the candidate you want when they don't really know what's going on and they can't even apply enough pressure with a pen to the piece of paper to vote themselves, so you have to do it for them. So that's what you got from the Democrats. But maybe it's not as bad as Kamala, who is now, in an attempt to win back the black vote, promising black men money and weed. Not even kidding you. Kamala Harris' outreach to black men includes proposals on marijuana and crypto businesses. That's your USA Today headline. But, you know, it's almost like, before we even get to this headlines, what are we accepting as fact here? Or what are we insinuating here? That weed is black culture? Is that what this is? Oh, every black guy loves weed. Come on, man. That's black guy stuff. If I go down to some downtown area where there's a lot of black people, and I walk up and I say, hey, black guys, want some weed? You guys smoking some weed today? That'd be ridiculous. They'd probably think I was racist, assuming that all black people like weed. But when you're Kamala Harris, hey, blacks, you want some weed? Vote for me. What the hell is that? And by the way, last I checked, growing up, whether I was going to parties in high school or college or whatever, I'm pretty sure everybody likes weed. I'm pretty sure if you go to one of these weed stores now, it's legal all over the country. If you go to a weed store, I'm pretty sure it's going to be all types of people in there. So I don't think weed is just a black thing, but this is kind of what the rap culture has done with people like Snoop Dogg. And it's all done by design to hurt black culture. It's not really black culture. It's an attack on black culture is what it is by the music industry. So that's really what this is. So this is like the acceptance. Oh, yeah, the music industry has attacked black culture and given you weed. As if all black guys smoke weed or it's only a black guy thing. But then Kamala Harris actually says, hey, I know. Why don't we tell black men that we'll give them weed? That'll make them vote for me. I mean, how offensive. What is the insinuation here? Somebody probably like Ryan Long or one of these comics needs to just go out, find a bunch of black guys and just be like, hey, you guys got some weed? Hey, you guys want to smoke some weed? Y'all like weed, right? What? That's the insinuation here, is that, oh, I know, we can win the black vote by telling black men we'll legalize weed. We'll give them weed. Of course, this is the woman, while she was the attorney general, had all kinds of men in prison for weed and innocent men in prison for murder. So we'll have these stories coming up. But that's the big game plan now from the Democrats. Hey, tell black men, we'll give them money and we'll give them weed. They just got to vote for Harris. Nice. I wonder how that will go. That'll probably backfire too, just like everything else they've done.
Here's your chance to keep my broadcast, which the globalists absolutely hate, which is devastating them, on the air and empower your body, your overall health, your immune system, your mental clarity. Now, anybody that knows about supplements and what is the most popular stuff out there knows that Irish sea moss has compounds in it that make it arguably the greatest superfood out there. It's got one of the best bioavailable forms of iodine in it. It's got all these key minerals, all of these key vitamins, and a bunch of other what they call ring structures involved in it that help the vitamins and minerals and other compounds like iodine get directly into your cells. So you want to go to the alexjonesstore.com and get this incredible sea moss product that is called Alex Jones's Ultimate Sea Moss. You will immediately feel the energy and the mental clarity. And within a few weeks, the iodine in your cells really starts to kick in, and that's when you feel the real benefits. There's also some other great supplements on the site. And there's also amazing t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps that have the message of liberty, InfoWars, Alex Jones, President Trump. All of these messages support and promote freedom and exercise your First Amendment in the face of the leftist tyrants that want to silence all of us. So it is a 360 win to keep my broadcast on the air one way or another when you go to the alexjonesstore.com and get Ultimate CMOS and some of the other products that are there. I can't do this without your help. I try to bring you products that I know are really going to work, so you'll love them, so you'll come back and get them again and again. I will never give up. I will never sell out. I will never back down. But we could give out without your support. Look, the globalists with all their big fake lawsuits and rig courts openly told me, stop promoting the Second Amendment, stop promoting Trump, we'll drop all this. They literally think that I will buckle to them, that I will bow to them, that I will give in to them. I will never do that. I will never sell out. It's impossible. Can't even think about it. But I could give out, as I keep saying. So please keep us on the air. We have broken so many huge stories. We've exposed the poison shots, the open borders, the globalist pedophile rings, the World War III situation. Almost everybody I interview that's prominently fighting the New World Order now says I woke them up. People like Tucker Carlson.
Alex Jones is the most extraordinary person I've ever met.
So the show has been a devastating weapon against the New World Order. But it cannot continue on, no matter what happens to InfoWars here in the next few weeks, without your support. So please make the decision now to keep me on air and to keep the crew working and to keep the special reports coming out by going to the alexjonesstore.com and getting the Ultimate CMOS, getting t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, new designs being added, limited edition, super high quality at the alexjonesstore.com. Again, I humbly thank you for all your support, and I ask you to please keep me in the game. Make the decision now to go to the alexjonesstore.com, and God bless you all.
The Save Alex Jones Broadcast Limited Edition Fundraiser T-shirt is available at thealexjonesstore.com. This exclusive limited edition T-shirt is your chance to stand with Alex Jones and support the ongoing fight for free speech. Featuring the bold red InfoWars logo prominently displayed on the front, this shirt is more than just a piece of apparel. It's a statement of solidarity. Crafted from high-quality materials, the shirt also features the InfoWars.com website and an American flag on the sleeve, symbolizing the fight to keep independent voices on the air. Every purchase of this T-shirt goes directly to ensuring that no matter what obstacles arise, Alex Jones will continue to broadcast the truth. Wearing this shirt means you're part of the mission to protect free speech and keep Alex Jones broadcasting. Get yours now before this limited edition sells out, and wear it proudly as a defender of the truth. Visit thealexjonesstore.com right now and get the Save Alex Jones Broadcast Limited Edition Fundraiser T-shirt now. Get yours now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Delving deep into the heart of globalist plans, it's Owen Schroyer.
So it's really, it tells quite the story. It shows, first of all, the Democrats are well aware that they need the black vote. And it's funny because the Democrats will try to tell black Americans that they need the Democrats. And, of course, just like everything else, the Democrats will tell you the exact opposite is true. Democrats actually need the black Americans to vote for them. So they're panicked. They're losing the vote to Trump. So they're saying, hey, blacks, we'll give you weed and money. And then the mainstream media is promoting this like it's a good thing. And this insinuation that somehow weed is part of black culture, like, oh, that's a good thing. That's an interesting admission as well. Harris promises $1 million of forgivable loans for black businesses. Only black. Now, this is completely illegal. This is inherently discriminatory, but it doesn't matter. As long as you discriminate against whites systemically, then it's okay. You couldn't come out and say, we're going to give $1 million of forgivable loans to white businesses. Oh, God, no. Oh, my. The racism, the bigotry. But for blacks, hey. Now, it's good. So there's your free money. The Harris campaign announced this plan, noting that, quote, from the website, Donald Trump is a serious threat to the lives of black men. Again, where do black men die at the highest rate in Democrat run cities? Where are black men dying from violent crime in Democrat run cities? Or, I mean, what are the two most dangerous places for a black man? It's not in a white neighborhood. No, the most dangerous places for a black man would be a Democrat run city or their mother's womb.
Ooh. Ooh.
So a Democrat-run city or a Democrat woman's womb is the most dangerous place for a black man. But Trump is a threat to the lives of black men. Trump just wants to lift up the entire economy of the entire country. He doesn't care what color your skin is. They play these race games. But that's because they're desperate. They need the black male vote. So, hey, have some free money. Obama chimes in again. Obama applauds Kamala Harris' plan to give black businesses $1 million of forgivable loans. They're calling it a national health equity initiative. A national health equity initiative. National health. Oh, my gosh. Where do you even begin with that propaganda? And so here's Obama. Kamala Harris has a plan that will lift up black men and their families. She's laid out some ways to give black men the tools to build wealth, achieve financial freedom, and lower costs. Oh, it's just perfect. It's just perfect. Everything they do is perfect. Everything they do is the best. My goodness. Because it's done so well, the welfare state. The welfare state has done so well for the black community, hasn't it? Yes. And then Kamala has a new story. She has a new story in her upbringing. And this is how she's promoting her free money for blacks. My parents met while protesting for civil rights. When I was a child, they would take me to marches in a stroller. Does anybody believe this? Does anybody believe that for one second? I'd like to see a single piece of evidence of Kamala Harris ever at a civil rights march in a stroller, or her parents ever at a civil rights march. Her Indian mother, her Jamaican father. They're big civil rights activists now, don't you know? Just like Joe Biden. Joe Biden was a big civil rights marcher. Joe Biden was a big civil rights activist. Joe Biden was walking the bridge with Martin Luther King. Joe Biden was getting arrested for standing up for the blacks. Of course, none of it's true. There's even campaign debates and congressional statements from Joe Biden where he says, I was not doing that. I was not marching. I was not part of the civil rights. See, because back in the 80s, you know, the Democrat Party was still kind of just openly racist against blacks. You go back to like the 70s and the 80s, the remnants of the KKK and the Jim Crow era were still prominent in the Democrat Party. Just look at Robert Byrd, who was eulogized by the Democrats. So you couldn't really be a civil rights activist and be a Democrat. If you were trying to win an election as a Democrat, you couldn't. No, they didn't like civil rights activists. So you didn't want to be known as a civil rights activist in the 80s. If you were a Democrat, you wouldn't get Democrat votes. They were still kind of, they wouldn't say it out loud, but, you know, they weren't big fans of the blacks. But then, as Lyndon Baines Johnson said, we'll have those Negroes voting Democrat the rest of their lives. We just got to give them the free money, the welfare state, get them killing their kids at Planned Parenthood, and then we'll own their ass. And so now they're trying to get them back on the Democrat Party plantation that Trump is trying to free them from, like a modern-day political Harriet Tubman. But now it's Kamala Harris. Now it's Kamala Harris. She's a civil rights marcher. She was in the stroller chanting, freedom, freedom. Oh, there's David Duke, Democrat, big Democrat. Yeah, I mean, it's well known. It's well known that in the 80s and before that, you don't, you're not a civil rights activist and a Democrat. That ain't going to win you elections. You come out, you say, sending your white kids to a black school is like sending them into a jungle. That's what Joe Biden said. That's what gets you elected. Works for Joe Biden. But Kamala, oh, she, her parents met at a civil rights. Oh, it's a story of civil rights. It's a story of standing up for blacks, her Indian mother, her Jamaican father. She was in the stroller chanting freedom. She says it was her first memory. Oh, my gosh. Does anybody believe this? Meanwhile, it was Donald Trump who was actually giving money to black businesses. It was Donald Trump that was making sure that marginalized and discriminated against groups could join country clubs in New York. It was Donald Trump that was building ice rinks so that people in cities could have an ice rink to skate at. Yeah, don't even get me started on the actual history of the Republican Party. It was started by black men. And the Democrats didn't like that either. So that's what you're dealing with here. But hey, it's great. NPR. They don't even hide it. I mean, this is so offensive. You're a black guy. They're like, hey, black guy, you want some weed? Vote Democrat. What the? In outreach to black men. This is the NPR headline. In outreach to black men, Harris vows to legalize weed. Why is that a black man thing? Again, my life experience, pretty much everybody likes weed that likes weed. I don't think it has a skin association to it. But again, they take over, and really it was the CIA, or who runs the music industry? I don't know. Ask Michael Jackson. Ask Kanye West. You see what happens to them. And they just say, weed is your culture now. See? Look at this rapper over here. He's a gangbanger. He hates police. He talks about beating women and hookers. And he smokes weed. That's black culture. It's an attack on black culture is what it is. And then they say, oh. Black man, we're going to give you your weed. You just got to vote Democrat. We're going to give you your weed. How many states is weed legal in? I don't even think this moves the needle, to be honest. It's really just sad and pathetic and embarrassing and offensive. Harris talks about marijuana and racial identity in latest interview. Yeah, that's your racial identity. If you're black, you smoke weed. If you're black, you do drugs. How offensive is that? So that's their attempt to win black voters back from Donald Trump, which the NPR story has to admit. Young black voters are becoming more conservative than their parents. Polls are gravitating towards Donald Trump. So the Democrats put 24 states, so half the country already has weed legal. I mean, it'll probably be legal almost everywhere in 10 years. And I think for states that are usually the last to hop on to things like this, like Texas, South Carolina, I mean, even Missouri, weed is legal now. It'll be an economic thing, and they'll say, well, just for the sheer economics and taxes of it, why wouldn't you do it? So, but imagine how offensive that is. A Democrat puts a bag of weed on a stick and a string and says, here you go, black man. Follow me to the polls now. Come on now. And they just brag about it. Like they're not even embarrassed. They're not even ashamed. They admit that's what they're doing. So they tell you weed is your culture. And then they say, hey, we'll give you weed. Vote Democrat. when it's already legal in half the states anyway. So here's some more systemic racism from Democrats. Illinois bill would give colleges taxpayer dollars for each minority student enrolled. So any non-white. So you see what happens? They've already done this, by the way. They're just trying to make it even worse. They've already done this with universities. They've already done this with the education system. You discriminate against whites, and you throw Asians into that too. And so you'll have a white student, an Asian student that has higher scores, has higher test grades, has more extracurriculars, whatever, would normally be the one that makes it into the college. But because they're white, they get rejected, and they'll take a non-white with lower scores, lower grades, no extracurriculars, because the college gets tax breaks, they get scholarships. And so eventually, you just continue this. Eventually, these schools, there's not even going to be a white person in them. And the incentive is just going to be no whites, just have it all non-whites. So that's what is happening now in Illinois. Hey, just discriminate against the whites, and we'll give you more taxpayer dollars for your university. Just make sure you keep the whites out. So you always hear about systemic racism, systemic racism. The systemic racism is against white people. And look, I don't even come up here and I'm not crying victim. I really hardly even care about this stuff, to be quite frank with you. But let's just tell it like it is. It's not inherent systemic racism against any other group in this country except whites. But okay, let's talk about, you want to talk about racism against blacks? Kamala Harris puts weed and money in a bag and puts it on a stick and a string and tries to take you to the polls to vote Democrat. How racist is that? Now, oh, and by the way, she goes on that show with Charlamagne. And we can probably just B-roll this in clip 6. And it's the same thing with Taylor Swift. It's the same thing with Ellen DeGeneres. It's the same thing with all these celebrities. Because most people aren't really that political, but they just are supporting Trump for pragmatic reasons. Or even cultural reasons at this point. He's kind of the cultural phenomenon. And so all the comment section now in Charlamagne's comments on Instagram, where he's promoting Kamala Harris now, they're all telling him he's made a mistake. They're all scolding him. They're all saying they're supporting Trump. They're all saying he's sold out. So it's you know, it represents how this whole celebrity culture is dying. This whole celebrity control over politics is dying, and they're being scolded by their own audience. They're being called out by their own audience. I mean, it's like 100% of the comments, folks. 100% of the comments here are all pro-Trump, anti-Harris. But the Democrat media, the deep state, the corrupt establishment has all these people in their pockets. So it pays. It pays. It pays to be a sellout. It pays to promote propaganda from the Democrat Party, the deep state, and the establishment. So they all know it. They don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to lose their massive salaries. They don't want to lose their fame and fortune. So they sell out. They don't care about their audience. And it's funny because they want to act like they're the ones that will sacrifice things for the greater good, and they're the ones that will take the hit, and they actually care. No, they don't. All they care about is their pocketbooks. All they care about is their fortune and fame. And then in their true moment of honesty, like what happened in my debate Monday night, Destiny will come out and say, oh, you're just broke from all the lawsuits. Oh, you're just broke because InfoWars is going out of business. Oh, you just have no money left. You're losing everything. It's like, yeah, exactly. And here I am. Because I don't sell out. I don't sell out my audience. I don't sell out my integrity. And then they view that as like this win. So they're pinned against the wall on policy. So then it becomes, ha ha, you're broke. Ha ha, you're getting shut down. Yeah, because I still have my integrity. I still have my soul. I don't sell out my audience like Charlemagne. You won't see my audience going into my comment section telling me I sold out. Like Charlemagne or Ellen DeGeneres or Taylor Swift. Won't find that with me. That's worth more than any amount of zeros you can put in my bank account. So, this is a man who's now also called out Charlemagne, who was wrongfully imprisoned while Kamala Harris was a district attorney. Talks about how Kamala Harris was laughing when he was wrongfully imprisoned. By the way, Jamal Truelove was awarded $13 million for his wrongful imprisonment, spent 6 years in prison for a crime he didn't commit. He wanted Charlemagne to press Harris on this. She was not asked. He did not. But I thought he cared about the black community. I thought he cared about black men that are victims of the corrupt justice system that's against them. But when an innocent man spends 6 years in prison and Kamala Harris laughs at him, he doesn't say anything because he sold him out as well. So here he is talking about this in clip two.
Yeah, we ended up losing. And after I lost, got convicted, the sentence came in, you know, obviously the courtroom is full. I know who this lady Kamala Harris is, right? People in the projects knew who she was because she was a black district attorney. And we thought that we had a black district attorney in office, right? And who we perceived to be black, right? That will have a, that's from Oakland. And that's all we kind of knew. And we would think that, you know, now, that she would.
I want to pause it there real quick because this is an important thing to understand, too. Listen to what he just said. And this is, again, how the Democrats play and prey on black people. And look, they fall for it. He just admitted it. They fell for it with Obama. They don't really fall for it anymore because, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. What does he say there? He says, oh, because she's black, I thought I could trust her. Because she's black, I thought she would have my back. Because she's black, I thought she was one of us. That's what they do. That's what they do. But see, again, that doesn't exist in any other group politically. Now, there might be stuff that happens in business. There might be stuff that happens in communities dealing with race or heritage. But in politics, nothing like that. White people don't go vote and say, I'm voting for this person because he's white. Hispanic people don't go vote for this person because he's Hispanic. But that's what they've convinced black people is, oh, hey, this Democrat's black. You got to vote for him. And then you find out these black Democrats really don't give a damn about you. Never did. They use you for power. So a very important thing that he says there to kind of understand about that political dynamic. But continue with the clip.
That black district attorney in office, right? And who we perceive to be black, right? That will have a, that's from Oakland. And that's all we kind of knew. And we would think that, you know, that she would, you know, be a little bit more favorable to us. Now, during my trial, I didn't even think of this lady, just in general. I just knew that she was the head DA. They never came and tried to talk to me or anything of the sort, right? It was strictly, you did this, we charging you, you're going down. So at my preliminary, at my, on verdict day, I remember seeing her in the back when I walked in, and when they laid down announced that I was, you know, convicted for first degree murder, which I already knew I was convicted because the jury asked a question to the bailiff. Could they give like these questions to be clear to the judge or whatever it may be? And we get to know what the question is. They bring us down to what the question is. And the question was, what's the difference between first degree murder and second degree murder? So I already knew that they just decided if it's going to be first degree or second degree. So I already came in there with the energy of like, You know, I'm convicted. Now, they already knew too. So that's why the courtroom was super packed. And you see Kamala Harris, like, literally, like, front row, opposite side on the defensive side. And, you know, when they came with the verdict, guilty, you know, me, I wanted to make sure I seen every nigga that was in that motherfucker on that side, not supporting me, and everybody else that was on that side. Because I knew, for one, I didn't do it. I stood on principle. And, you know, and I was going to fight to ultimately get back. And I never forget when I turned around and I looked and I seen Kamala Harris, you know, we locked eyes this one time and she laughed. She literally just like kind of bust out laughing, almost as in if she was pointing at a nigga, like, ha, 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 ha. That's how I felt, though she didn't point. But that's how I felt when she was laughing at the verdict coming down.
Now, here's what he said following the interview, the softball interview. Remember, this is the same guy that Joe Biden said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black to. So, I mean, you want to talk about embarrassing. You want to talk about soft as butter. He went on his show and said, if you don't vote for me, you're not black. And Charlamagne didn't say a damn thing. So he you know, he's on the plantation. But hey, he's filthy rich. So what does he care? He's rich and famous. He doesn't give a damn. So Jamal Truelove, that's the guy that was just speaking there, who was wrongfully convicted, said this following the interview. Charlamagne had an opportunity to have a legitimate conversation about the issues that we face in the black community and actually press Kamala for answers and hold her accountable for her part in hurting the black community over the years, but you chose to play softball and let her on your platform to spew political propaganda. You know, I wonder, I think there's a lot of things that are going to be permanently set in stone in the political world now. From some of the things we've seen over the last 8 years and maybe more specifically the last 4 years. But also, what about the pop culture world? What about this celebrity world where people like Charlamagne will lift himself up as a proud, strong black man, a voice for the black community? And then, as Jamal Truelove says, when you actually have an opportunity to maybe do something, when you have an opportunity to maybe do something for the black community and ask real questions, you don't show up. So why does anybody listen to this guy? I hope they stop listening to this guy.
The deep state hates me almost more than anybody in the world except President Trump. That's because I've got their number. We've got a giant audience of activists like you that understand what's happening as well and aren't going to roll over and let them take over our planet and enslave us and depopulate us. We're going to stop this death cult together. But the enemies of freedom are trying to shut us down November 13th. Regardless, our great sponsors are going to keep the broadcast going no matter what. But we need funds to do it. So please go to our amazing sponsor, thealexjonesstore.com, and get some of these amazing designs. More than 15 years ago, I designed this baby. We brought it back. I love it. It's a collectible. It's limited edition. It's at thealexjonesstore.com. And now they've added long-sleeved, lightweight, and heavyweight hoodies for cool weather and super cold weather with all these incredible designs. They're now available at thealexjonesstore.com. And it gets even crazier. These shirts are being made right now, so I don't have one, but tomorrow we'll have one. It's in the mail to us right now. Look at this. You talk about fun. I was going to be a Democrat for Halloween, but my head wouldn't fit up my ass. Gotta love that. Here's another one. Make Halloween great again with the evil Trump. Make the frogs straight again. All these great designs and more are available at thealexjonesstore.com. It keeps us on the air at this critical time in the face of the globalists, and they're amazing shirts. You'll meet so many great people when you're out wearing these. It's an adventure to wear these shirts, and it keeps us on air. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for supporting free speech. You are the reason we're still here. God bless you. Now, please visit thealexjonesstore.com. And again, I want to thank all those that have gone and gotten the shirts. Thank you so much for what you're doing. You are amazing.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show and share the link today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.